hope you're doing well this morning. We are finishing out our series, Life Apps. And if you'll take your outline out of your program, we'll get right to that. And what we're going to look at today could seem as sort of a bummer kind of message because we're talking about difficulty, and in particular, the difficult transitions that we can find ourselves in life. And then maybe you're like me with my kids. I want to shield them from some of the tough stuff in life. And so we try to do that. But about 100 years ago, people didn't do that. They really prepared their children for adversity. And they did it when they were very young, and they used a certain tool with their kids. You know what I'm talking about? They taught them something. Okay, evidently you all shouldn't try out for a game show. The nursery rhymes. You think about it, and maybe help me out with this. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack jump over a candlestick. Yeah, Jack, little Jackie's on fire, we find that out. There's also this one, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. He put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very well. See, he teaches you about relationships. And then this one, rock-a-bye baby. On the treetop, that's great. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come baby, cradle and all. Isn't that a wonderful thing to teach our children? I mean, who came up with that? Stephen King? Well, you know, see, I like one, a little book that was read to me when I was young, The Little Engine That Could. You remember that one? The little engine has this big hill to climb, and it's going, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. The other side is, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. And that is so great when you're a kid, but as an adult, it doesn't always work out that way. It's like, I think I can't, I think I can't, I think I can't, and no, I didn't, no, I didn't, no, I didn't. You know, sometimes how it turns out. And, you know, God is not shocked by that. In fact, what will happen often is that we are surprised by the situations we face. I've talked to a number of people just in the recent weeks, and they're saying, you know, I didn't think I would find myself without a job at this point in my career. I didn't expect these health problems. Or I'm tired of going to the nursing home and my mom always asking who I am. And these difficulties are a real part of life, and most of our life is spent in the midst of them, that we are either in one, heading into one, or heading out of one. And so if we learn how to live in these difficult transitions, it's called learning how to live life is really what it's about. But I went to the eye doctor the other day, and he said, you know, he was talking about a condition that I could have. It's hereditary, and there's some bad signs. And so it was really freaked me out, and especially when he says, oh, don't worry, you won't go blind from it. I'm like, okay, that's good to know. And he said, because there are certain treatments and all of that, I said, just shoot straight with me. And he said, well, you know, you can take these drops and they can do a surgery. And literally, this is what my eye doctor said to me. And he said, or you also might want to smoke some marijuana. This is what the doc, I said, so are you going to write me a prescription or just give me a map to Fremont? So the, by the way, I'm not high this morning. I'm probably the only person my age who's actually ever never smoked pot, and not going to start now. We'll do anything to alleviate the pain. And sometimes what God wants to do is He wants to have us travel right through it. We're going to take up where we left off last week. We talked about Moses as he led the nation of Israel into the promised land, but we got to the point right before that where God is doing something great. This group of people, there's 2.5 million at this point, they have been enslaved by the Egyptians, and this is where we pick it up. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. See, they had been slaves there for 400 years. Great news. God is concerned about you. God has not forgotten you. But what happens to them does not happen quickly. And they, even though God had said it was going to happen, years passed. Pharaoh does not respond to even the signs that God sends. And so they find themselves in this season of difficulty. And then they go from Egypt to Israel, which should be a one-month journey on foot. It takes 40 years. And there's a lot of detours along the way. And so what happens when we're in a proverbial desert like that? It's hard for us to imagine dry, isn't it? But if you, 5 weeks after my wife and I were married, we moved to Arizona. And by the way, which wasn't bad, except, you know, the desert is a different place. I mean, we saw, as you'd go running, there'd be like wild pigs you'd have to run from. And I was quicker then. Coyotes. Literally, when we went up to our first place, we had to walk around a rattlesnake. First day, a tarantula on the front step and two scorpions inside. Yeah, that's why I don't live in Arizona anymore. the desert and that really that metaphor is for inhabiting a place that is inhospitable, in a place that is difficult, in a place where not a lot seems to grow. And there is something that grows in the midst of desert seasons in our life. And that's a Keystone habit. If you haven't been with us, you might want to listen to the previous weeks where we've gone into this. I'm not going to go into it again. And that's a Keystone habit of perseverance. And that's where we learn to persevere. And by the way, persevere in good things. Not, there's some things you shouldn't persevere in. There are some things God calls us to give up as well. Well, how can we persevere in life's deserts? I want to follow the journey of the people of Israel and draw some conclusions from that. Number one, you can limit your complaints. See, anytime you have 2.5 million people together, there's going to be conflict. And the conflict happened with the people of Israel and God about how he provided for them. They couldn't farm, they couldn't get food in a normal way, and so God miraculously provided manna. Manna was a type of bread that they hadn't seen before, and literally the Hebrew word manna means what is it? It's sort of like, have you ever dined in a gas station? You know, under the magic heat lamp, and you're like, what's that? I'm sure a few weeks ago that was a hamburger. And so that's what they're saying. And so this is where we pick it up. It says this, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. You almost have to read this in a whiny voice to get the context. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, and also the cucumbers and the melons and the links and the onions and the garlic, and they probably had some bad breath as well. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. And we sort of like, well, hey, I wouldn't be like that. Now, you have to understand, this was not after days or weeks or months. This was after years. And we've all been there. Where you say, I'm sick of people asking me where I work and I'm fumbling for an answer. I'm sick of waiting for this depression to lift. And that's sort of where they are. But the problem is, see, God can handle our complaints. But they were starting to say, you know, the situation is not bad, but God, I think I might be better off without you. And in that, we head into real dangerous territory. You know, we can complain, we can struggle, we can fall. But once we cut ourselves off from God's provision, it's in that point we're in deep trouble. In fact, one of the marks of maturity is to go through challenging situations without blaming other people, and without making them suffer. Well, number two, we see be cautious of emotional breakdowns. Because adversity will do this. Adversity will, and I'm going to go through these quickly, will make you think everyone's against you or everything is against you. It'll attempt to isolate you. One of The things we say around here is no one stands alone. You shouldn't walk through life alone. And usually right in the midst of your deepest struggle, you'll draw away from people instead of towards them. It'll try to paralyze you. Have you ever had a major problem and the way you solve it is sit on the couch with a half a gallon of ice cream? Yeah, we all, you know, and that doesn't help anything. Well, it helps for a moment, but it doesn't help long. And it's never as bad as it looks. It'll never be as bad as it looks. Now turn the camera away from the people and on to Moses, and we read this. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms? A nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on an oath to their ancestors. Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing, 'Give us meat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me." And when things aren't moving forward, oftentimes we break down. Look at what Moses says later. He says, "If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin." We find this elsewhere in the Bible, where people who love God go through difficulty. Elijah, who was a prophet, said, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I want to die." Jeremiah, who God used in a powerful way, but he comes to the point where he says, "Cursed be the day I was born. My mother, may the day my mother gave birth to me be cursed." Job said, "Let the day of my birth be erased, and the night I was conceived, let that be turned into darkness." Now, these are tough verses. You don't find these on greeting cards much, do you? But they're a reality that can reflect where our heart is at that moment. But and if we get stuck in that moment, that's where the difficulty comes. And we can. But at that point, we see what happens at least the nation of Israel and can happen to us if we let it. And number three is to look for God's provision. Look for God's provision. In the middle of those difficult seasons of transition, we can encounter that. God moves towards Moses gently and with compassion. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that's on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone." Now, hopefully you get this picture that Moses is in the lowest point in his life and God provides. And God's provision, now sometimes God's provision is miraculous. This time it's just the people who are around him. And he says, "Will you look around? I have these people in your life for a reason." And maybe God's going to provide for you in ways you wouldn't expect. God loves to provide. Maybe it's employment, and a different kind of employment than you imagine. Maybe he's going to provide patience or contentment, or you're going to get an email or a phone call. That seems sort of random. But it's God's way to provide for you. Now, the next step of this, we see number four, be open to God's discipline. And discipline, it's important to think of discipline as different than punishment. Because that's why we hear the word discipline and we sort of like, we don't like that very much. It's sort of like, did any of your parents ever pull this one on you? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And see, I grew up in the era of spankings. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And so what are they trying to communicate in that? They're trying to say is that I'm doing this not to punish you, but to turn you in a different direction. And sometimes when we go through these seasons of adversity, what'll happen is God is clearing a new path for us. And that discipline can be used for that. And see, we can either let it destroy us or lead it to the place that God wanted us to be in the first place. And whether it was done to you or you did it to you, God's provision is often much the same, and it's through him charting a new course for us. We see this, it says in Numbers 11, 18 through 20. "Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat." Now, see, the problem is they didn't like the manna. We've established that. "Then the Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had enough meat to eat, we would be better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not just eat it for 1 day or 2 days or 5 or 10 or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils. That's a pretty graphic image. And you're saying, I don't like that. Well, that's in the Bible. And you loathe it because you've rejected the Lord who is among you, and you've wailed before him. Why did we ever leave Egypt? And see, God is saying, you know, it's sort of like the song, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But you try sometime and you just might find you get what you need. That's what God's saying. I'm going to give you what you, except with a little more in tune than I did it. Look for that. And I don't know how it's going to happen in your life, and I don't know who it's going to happen through, and it may be something that God does in the inside. It may be something that God provides from the outside. But know that God loves to provide. It says in Numbers 11:23, the Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not it will come true for you. And that, for some of us, that's what we need to hear today. It's that God has not lost his power. There's no need to question his goodness or his competence. And then finally, we get to the fifth place where they find themselves, and we can hopefully find ourselves as well. And that's to expect transformational growth. Expect transformational growth. See, adversity can grow us. It can shape your character. It can help you to be open to solutions that you've never considered before. It can help you to refocus on what's important. It can reignite your passion or your vision. See, wildernesses sometimes are the best places for transformational growth. We see that happened with some of the people in the nation of Israel. It didn't happen to all of them, and it's always a choice. Growth is always a choice. And it can no matter how you got there, growth is a choice. A lady who's you've probably never heard of before, her name is Jeannie Mayo. She's a youth pastor. She's trained other youth pastors. Literally is probably in this nation affected about 500,000 people for Christ indirectly. And she always talks about, you know, hey, those redirects and where God corrects and where God disciplines. But she also says, you know, you're not out because you sin. You're out because you choose to quit. And for some of us, that's what we need to hear. That transformational growth is just you saying, I'm not going to quit. That habit of perseverance and endurance, that's what I'm going to allow God to do in me. See, what will often happen is this growth happens and we get to focus on our priorities once again. I've shared before when my daughter was very, very sick, my youngest, and in the hospital for quite some time, that helped. All of a sudden, priorities changed and stripped away a lot of things from life that some of it's been added back in. And during those moments of crisis, of difficult transition, that what will often happen is you say, this is what I'm about. And maybe for you today, it's you saying, I'm about Jesus. You say, I've wandered away, I've been there before, but I need to come back. I need to come back, that I would have, that instead of this angst, the Bible describes it as the joy of your salvation. And that God would give you joy, and God would give you hope, and God would give you peace. But you know, transformational growth, you know how it happens often, is through incremental growth, where we make a choice. We talked about that last week, where we just say, God, I can't do everything, but I can do this one thing. That is, you're leading me through this season. I'm going to be stepping towards you. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that as we come to you this morning, that we can face difficulty that maybe we've been trying to avoid. Lord, that we've just felt at a standstill. And God, that you're wanting to do a work in us. And God, we would just want to be open to that. God, as we go through these desert seasons, I pray for my friends who are in them right now, who have a depression that just won't lift. Or maybe it's an illness that instead of experience healing, it's just gotten worse. God, whatever that is, we would invite you into our lives and our hearts. God, we would come to you and we thank you that you're not only the God of miracles 1,000 years ago, but that you're the God of miracles today. And so, God, for some of us, that's what we need. We need a miracle. We need to not only think about, but to live that verse. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And God, whatever the source of this desert, we know the source of the way out. And that's to turn towards you. And so that's what we do is we open up our hearts to you, Lord. God, I pray for my friends who were just struggling with that step of surrender to you. And this would be the time where we would say, God, I want you as the Lord and leader of my life. In fact, you would just say that to God silently. You'd say, God, this is the choice I make. I make this choice to follow you. And God, I know that you believe things about me that I can't even believe about myself. So I hold on not to what I feel, but to your truth. And that you have a plan. And it's a plan to prosper, not to harm, and for a hope and a future. And God, in response to what you've done, that I will respond in obedience to you. God, there are many of us from all sorts of places in this desert journey. And maybe we're not there, and we just got to say, God, thank you for this moment. But God, I will not reject you even when these seasons come. In fact, I will expect you to do a work where my heart turns towards you in a deeper way. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.